saving money on everything for your projects. Now at Menards, we have it all for garden and landscaping essentials. Visit our outdoor garden center today and update your backyard space. Grid Accents lattice panels have a timeless design with an innovative design that's simple to install and requires almost no maintenance. Save big on lattice panel options at Menards. View our entire selection of garden center products today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Legend has it, underneath the NJM insurance offices lies a room of rejected mascot memorabilia. Is it real? No one knows. But we do know NJM is proud to put policyholders first. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. NJM.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
I am ready to record.
Hit the record button, man.
Oh, did I push it? Oh, I'm pushing the record button.
Ugh.
Oh, so much energy to push it.
No.
Oh.
Are we? So we're recording.
Yeah.
All right. Can we just start the show then?
Oh, yes. Now we can.
Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben Kissel. That's Henry Zabrowski. He's pushing the record button.
I'm technically at the end of a bender right now.
Oh, you are, huh?
Yeah, because I went to ELO.
Uh-huh.
And I haven't come down from space since then, bro.
Yeah, that's the Electric Light Orchestra.
Yeah, buddy. It is wild. Called, otherwise known as Stepdad Central.
Oh, I can imagine. Yeah, it's an older band, huh?
There's so many guys named Greg there that are just plowing your mom. Because it's their third marriage and they don't care anymore. And so now they're doing a lot of asshole stuff on both sides. They've learned a lot from the new magazines. They found out about Tumblr. They got toys for men now.
Yep. Well, that's what happens when your father has to become Santa Claus because he murders the original Santa Claus. We've all seen the movie, folks.
We know what happens. And then yes. Judge Reinhold moves in, and then she's sexually excited by Judge Reinhold.
All right. Well,
instead of Tim Allen? You mean tell me the man, the king of men who made barking a national pastime?
That was a punchline.
Yeah.
It absolutely crushed.
Tim Allen was a prescient member of society.
Yeah.
Because now it's like, because I would even say he predates sort of an Elon Musk, sort of, follow me on this, Kissel,
okay.
An Elon Musk idea of the technological advancements of the home and what it would do to the modern domestic nuclear family.
Tool Time was the single greatest show inside of a show of any show in the history of shows.
To the point that my parents didn't even know that the show was called Home Improvement.
Why would you? Home Improvement sucks. That's what you have to do to avoid the family on Sundays. And then so you go up to the roof and you break a shingle to fix a shingle. But in Tool Time, it's like the toilet's a sofa. Who doesn't log? I mean, it's kind of disgusting. It's a little bit Roman Coliseum-esque, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'm trying to really deviate. Like, I'm trying to separate where I shit from where I just normal sit.
Right,
and that's what I've been now saying is normal sit. Like, I don't say sit anymore, I say normal sit, and then shit is just sitting.
Really? Well, that's good. So now you're normal sitting. Oh, I hope so anyway. Yeah,
well,
I guess
we'll
anytime
see.
You're doing whatever you're doing, just
you
let me know if it becomes not a normal sit.
I'll tell you how you know. You know how you know?
Mm-hmm.
When I start talking like this.
All right, sounds like you're pushing the record button. Disgusting. My goodness. But by the way, we have a bunch of animal stories to get to because we've got a new addition to the Last Podcast family, Puffin. He's actually watching the show right now. I brought my boy to work and he is very, very cute. He was going to be sold at this big, it's this Korean dog meat festival. It's like true. They kill over a million dogs a year for this festival and they were able to save him. So whenever he's bad, I'm going to tell him you could have been a burrito. And he is fat.
You know, it would not have been a burrito. He would have been, I would say, some form of barbecue, one of them sliced barbecues
know.
That you do yourself.
Oh, wow.
You could have been bambop.
Honestly, the whole idea really did make me my skin curl, but then I'm remembering what we had at Cena's bachelor party, the Korean barbecue, Any meat would taste good with that sauce. Love it.
So is that why my first reaction to seeing Puffin was like, I'm hungry?
No, don't say that about the dog.
I'm not going to kill the dog.
So we got a couple of animal stories to get to today, though, and they are not good. Not good.
I'm very excited that you saved Puffin.
Yes.
I can see the relief in your eyes.
Mm.
You have a joy. You have a spring in your step that you didn't have before. Before, you were a sullen, drunken mess.
Sure.
But now,
now I have a dog.
Now you have a reason to live.
Sure. Yeah.
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 Because Brooke will go. The women go. But the dogs can be kept.
Right. Well, I don't know. It's a strange thing to say to a person, but yeah. Technically, I guess anyone that can have a credit card can leave you.
Yeah.
And Puffin can never have a credit card.
Mm-mm.
No. So that's true. Mm-mm. Well, let's hope that doesn't happen. But nonetheless.
Nice. Well, nonetheless.
Speaking of leaving, the first little store we have today, it's a little bit old. It's from early July, but we weren't doing a show that week. Casey Anthony. We have some, not so breaking news, but evidently, Henry, she is no longer wearing the ashes of Kaylee around her neck. And this is something right before the trial, I believe, her mother was wearing the Kaylee Anthony ashes around her neck. And then she gave another necklace to Casey as sort of a morbid bonding moment between daughter killer and then mom who was grieving.
But as a gift... It's like strange.
Because
you know when you get a bad gift? Because I remember there was one Christmas when, I was a little just like unrepentant little nerd child.
Right.
For until now, even continue to be so. Mm-hmm. But I really wanted bongos.
Wait, what? Why did you want bongos?
I wanted them. Because like, honestly,
growing up in Queens gets inspired to bongo?
This was the beginning of my Afrocentric leanings.
So
when
you were,
I used to go,
this was when you were in college. You requested bongos.
Dude, I was like a senior in high school by then. I wanted bongos.
Okay,
because
right.
Also I'd be great at bongos. Look at me, bong bong bong.
Yeah, you have the body type of a bongo player. Yeah,
my hand. I would be a great bongo player.
I believe it.
Little hands.
Yeah,
I can make different sounds with my hands. Look,
that's just clap. That's slapping your stomach. That's slapping your arms.
Here, honestly how much of the differences are you picking up on the mic?
It's pretty good, actually. That's you're a human bongo.
Yeah.
You know, I actually saw an act like that on America's Got Talent, I think. And I think they moved on to the next round. I don't know if we're very talented as a people any longer.
We're not. No, absolutely not. And ham bone is not a skill.
Oh, okay.
So when I got I thought at the very end, because, you know, like, I don't, like my parents made a very big emotional deal about the gift-giving process of Christmas, which ended up ruining the holiday for the entire family. But a part of what they did was that they would wait for the big gift at the very end. And I remember...
Right.
And there was this box, and this is the bongos were going to be in it,
uh-oh,
right? And then I'm all built up, and they're like, here's your box.
Oh, I'm going to guess. It up. I'm guessing boxing gloves.
Sweat-proof pillow.
Well, who doesn't want a gift that says we know you sweat at night? That's why, like, what? That's a gift for your mother, because I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah, wow.
Sick of washing the pillows. But I feel like... Casey probably had that same exact reaction where it's like you're on trial for the murder of your own daughter.
Right.
At this point, you're trying to decide whether or not you're going to spring the story on them that the father molested you.
Right.
You're waiting for that jump, that surprise.
Well, now that just happened in real time, right? Like the father, he was just in courtroom and then like a little chihuahua, his ears just perked up and was like, oh, what was that?
They found out like the day before.
Okay.
Because you know how they get to present the story? They get to find out. So he found out like the day before and he had to sit and think about it the next day. And then he got slimed on camera in front of the world.
Yes.
And so, but at the time, I imagine Casey's kind of expecting like maybe she'd get me a bottle of Makers. Maybe like something fun because I'm not in jail yet. But instead, you give me the ashes of my fucking daughter. Ew.
Right. Yeah, maybe
Giraffe.
Do you think... I don't think that Casey Anthony is allowed to say, like, you anymore. Like, once you sort of put a little sticker on your daughter's dead mouth and then throw her into the woods, I'm pretty sure keep her in your car for numerous days. I don't think you're allowed to be grossed out by anything.
She's very, very sick. She's a sick woman. She killed her child.
Right.
So a part of it is that she did have that sort of distance effect where I think that that was also of it, too. It's like there's something about the coldness of a Florida hot woman back in her mind where she just kind of deleted Kaylee. And so to have more evidence of it, it's like, ugh. And so did Cindy get Kaylee's ashes back in sort of like a title match?
I don't know exactly how that happens. Like the Undertaker's urn type thing. Did Paul Bearer deliver this to her? Or yeah, did they have to get in the ring and scuffle? I have no clue how that whole process goes. And I also don't really trust it. Who says, how do you know if it's the ashes of the person that you want? Or if it's just somebody who just has all the ashes of all the bodies in the crematorium and then he just throws them at random people. I don't trust it.
I mean, it's such a deviation of any sort of trust that, like, I feel like if you do shatter that version of trust, then you literally can never trust a single person to ever do anything ever again.
Yeah. Now, apparently, this was the gift was given, Henry, during one of the reconciliations between the two gals. Cindy presented the necklace to her daughter as a gift. And at the time, Casey was living in South Florida with a pastor and his family. How scared were those kids? That's got to be. You're bringing in Rebecca De Mornay from The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I mean, you're bringing in the person accused of killing a child. And it's like, oh, we also happen to have a 2-year-old. If you get any ideas, we don't really like her that much. If you think, anyway, okay.
I honestly think they just knew not to get in the way if she wanted to go out.
Oh my
God. I think
God.
That like the kids just understand where if Casey, she's like, I'm going out for the night. They're like, oh, you're going to want to take a little bit of Advil because it'll help your hangover. Here's a water. Here's an Uber voucher.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, really get out there. Really have a great time. You know, take care of yourself. Have a fun time. Dance a lot. You know, like, bye. You're not bye. Our mommy.
And Casey, don't forget that Pedialyte that you had for the baby. You could actually take it for your hangover. So it's a gift. Isn't that it's actually kind of a funny thing.
Yeah, I hate Pedialyte. Tastes like piss.
Oh,
I'm going to kill your cats.
Uh-oh.
I can do anytime I like because I got these deadly spider hands.
I'll tell you one thing. It's not ever a good reconciliation meeting when the gift exchange of a child's ashes have to be something that takes place. That's never, you know, it's ever good.
You know what's a good reconciliation meal? Technically?
A meal.
Bloomin' onion.
Oh, well, if you're going to do meal, yeah, bloomin' onion. You would want, if it's a reconciliation meal, you want to have something that has a dip in the middle. And then you all kind of pick from the sides because at some point you're going to go for the dip at the same time. Your chips are going to touch nose to nose. And then you're going to look at each other and laugh because you both wanted that asparagus dip at the same moment.
I actually get upset.
Artichoke dip. That's what I meant. Why?
I get upset when the lump I'm looking at gets taken. So I think it's actually really important to do.
It's
important to have, yes, I do believe you, though. I was kind of being facetious about a bloomin' onion because I don't think that's the best reconciliation meal. I think you need a nice Greek meal where you have many different flavor stylings and, again, family style. Because it's really one.
Family style. That's what I'm saying. It's got to be family style.
It's got to be family style. Yeah. Because that's how you feel like your family.
Right.
Because everybody's cheering from the same plate and everybody gets mad if one person takes more than the other person had to begin with.
That might have been, I would love to see just an animated series solely around the table, set solely around the table with just you and Jackie. And just there's one, like, potato left. I don't know what Polish people eat sometimes, and it's just you guys trying
to
figure out.
You know what Polish people eat. We've eaten together. We have stuffed kabaj. We have like, oh, man, Little Poland on 2nd and 12th Street in New York City is delicious, and they have a stuffed lamb chop that's just, oh, and you got rogies, and then I don't like borscht, though. I don't like cold soup.
No, I don't get cold soup. Just heat it up. I don't think they had the ability to heat the food, so they had to just say it's good. Is that what happened? They just leaned in?
We're all sorts of rustic. It's whatever evil because we were constantly being chased by a certain other race of people. Now, there's another story I'd like to talk about, which is about this Chinese crime writer named Louis Yongbao.
All right.
That on July 31st of this year was finally sentenced to death for a cold case where he killed four people with an accomplice named Wang in 1995, mm-hmm. where essentially he bludgeoned four people to death.
Okay.
And they finally found him through kind of what is now the new renaissance of using DNA testing in China. They found him, they narrowed it down to his last name, and they found it, they ferried him out all the way to him specifically. They tricked him into getting his spit. And then they linked him to a cigarette butt that was left there in 1995 when these four people were bludgeoned to death in a cabin. And then the guy went on to write many Chinese books that he's a crime novelist.
Really?
And he became very, very successful. So in those coming 20 years, he just sold a book called The Sick. He just sold a book that was a historical fiction and it got turned into a 50-episode television series. So essentially, it's like if George R.R. Martin ended up wholesale murdering four people with fucking hammers.
Well, what is it with the cigarettes and the murder? I mean, everyone's always like Aaron Hernandez. He's chewing gum and killing. Cigarettes and killing. You gotta
relax.
I guess it's very stressful. So
the story is...
The books were bestsellers, though, huh?
Yes, he did very well. And the story is that Louis was one of two men who checked into a guest house in the eastern city of Huzhou in order to rob its guests. Now, this is, I guess, in lean times.
Okay.
Never trust a writer. They spend too long alone. Marcus is the shadow of the writing is starting to make him into sort of like a golem, and I'm afraid of his thoughts.
Absolutely.
Now, when one victim, named as Mr. Yu, fought back against the thieves, they beat him to death.
Okay.
In order to conceal their crime, the two men are alleged to have murdered the couple who ran the guest house and their 13-year-old grandson.
Jeez.
Zhu Sencheng, one of the officers involved in the original inquiry, told the paper, a Shanghai-based news website, that the manhunt had gone cold because investigators could find no link between the victims and their killers.
This was the most difficult thing. We found it hard to follow the vine all the way to the melon.
I like the analogy. Those detectives are much more intelligent than our detectives, who would never come up with such a beautiful way to describe how their case went cold. But it seems a little bit strange to me that he murdered one, and to cover it up, he murdered three more people. It's like when you eat a whole pizza, and then you're like, and I better lose some weight. I better eat a lean cuisine.
It's just like this.
It's just like that. Just like that, because it's counterproductive.
Well, I get it, honestly. It's, you got to kill everybody.
If
you're
going to
kill one of them, you got to kill everybody, because that's, you keep a secret for 20 years.
Ugh.
That's how he was fucking kept. He got to clickety-click all day long with his private little thoughts.
Yeah.
He had a fuck ton of money. And then now he sat there, and apparently when they finally found him, he was sitting on his porch and he said, "I've been waiting for you here all this time." And so he said, "Don't worry, there's no punishment." He's like, "I've already died 1,000 deaths." And so now he went...
And the cops were like, "No, actually, there is a punishment. We're going to put you in the prison." You know that whole prison system?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Check, please.
Uh-oh.
But no, he went and he's been sentenced to death.
Wow.
But there's something about authors. Because he went ahead and he wanted, so essentially as he wrote this, so the kicker was he had pitched a book in the intro of his last book.
Now, what is it called, If I Did It?
The book was called The Beautiful Writer Who Killed.
Get out of here.
Yeah, that is the name of the book. And it was supposed to be about a beautiful woman that would go on to murder, who was an author, that would murder a bunch of people and get away with it and then write a bunch of books about it.
So at some point, his publisher just writes in the email back being like, "So like, you're like, you're the woman, right? Like, you're really into the killing of these people."
Too clever for your own good. I hit you with hammer.
Oh,
you know what I mean? He does it again, because he's always ready to kill, always ready. But actually, there's another case that was very similar, and of a man named Richard Klinkhammer.
Uh-oh.
Who, his wife, Hannelore, vanished in 1991. He was a Dutch crime author.
Okay.
Who did the same thing. Essentially, he murdered his wife, and no one knew what happened. So his wife disappeared. And so no one knew what happened. But Klinkhammer showed up at his publisher and said, "Oh, I've written this book. It's basically seven ways in which someone can kill their wife and then dispose of the body." And
oh, one of my the ways, God. They want to get caught. They want to get caught at this point.
Well, I honestly believe, we've talked about this many times on the show, about how they want everyone to see how clever they are. And so his book was called Wonstank Gehackt Duck, which meant Wednesday Mince Day. And it was this detailed exploration of seven ways in which Klinkhammer could have conceivably have killed his wife, Hannelore. In one of the scenarios set out in the book, he disposes of her body by pushing her flesh through a mincer and feeding it to pigeons.
And to basically pigeons? To pigeons. Pigeons, yeah, like bread.
I don't fucking know. It's European. These are European ideas.
Okay.
And so what ended up happening is that so she disappeared. He went on to go move in with the chick in Amsterdam, had a great time, you know, living his life. Very, very bad drinker. Very abusive husband to her, abusive to this new girlfriend. Someone moved into his old house. They decided they wanted to renovate. They dug up the backyard. They found a gigantic concrete square with his wife's body in it. And basically he went to jail after that.
So she wasn't minced, though.
No.
Okay. Well, at least he didn't do it like that. That reminds me of the little reading folder there, the little inside folder reader thing that you used to get with CDs. Remember 2000
liner notes.
Remember 2000 slappy hours or something like that? It was Green Day.
Oh yeah, 2039 smooth out slappy hours. Yeah.
Yeah, they had that story in there about a guy who killed his parents and put them down. Very similar to what Dennis Nielsen did, as a matter of fact. Maybe that's where the inspiration was. Put him down in the garbage disposal.
Before Columbine, I remember how many times we would read things that were sort of about killing your parents.
I know. And then after Columbine.
Now we can't even joke about it anymore.
It's unbelievable. Columbine ruined everything. All right, well, interesting
story.
I'll say it again, and I'll drink when I say it next time. So interesting, a lot of these authors out there are murderers. If I find out Tom Clancy is a secret spy, I'm going to be very upset.
Collusion with the Russians, which is also sentences. I don't even know what any of it means anymore. I don't know what collusion is. I know it means technically, isn't it cooperating?
Technically, we collude. This podcast is us colluding. We are making a show. We have colluded to make a podcast. It's very loose. All right. Well, there it is.
I can't trust a full-on author.
Well, they're always thinking.
And honestly, we've been getting a lot of hash and a lot of mess from people saying that we're not working on the book, and we're working on the book.
We're working on the book? What do you mean we're not working on the book? No, it's amazing.
We do stuff. I mean, it's not maybe to the extent that Marcus works on the book, where maybe...
Charleston Heston, when he was giving his NRA speech, holding that gun, and he's like, for my cold, dead, old, racist hands. That would be easier. It would be easier to get that gun out of his hands than it is to get Marcus to not work on the book.
Yes, he loves that book.
It's in his hand. It's in his little claws.
But I'm really afraid for the... We're supposed to write 10 chapters, so you know it's going to... I'm just... As long as we don't get an 11th chapter that says, like, how we could maybe go about killing all the girlfriends. You know what I mean? Then we know that he's gone too far and he needs an outreach.
Well, yes, absolutely. But I don't think he's going to go too far because he's got little Georgie over there, his cute dog, keeping him sane.
Well, what if Georgie's telling him to do it?
Well,
I don't know about Georgie yet. I've met Georgie. I love Georgie. But at the same time, I don't know what he says to Marcus in private. When he says stuff to me, when he builds me up, she says something like, you're the king, daddy. Daddy, you gotta get out there and you shake it up. You keep it too real to be ignored out there, daddy.
Right.
I'm just like, you got it, Wendy. You know I will. She's like, don't kill today, daddy. I need you to come back. You're right, Wendy.
Maybe Wendy has to go outside to go to the bathroom or something.
Oh, she goes out quite a bit. We take her out 4 times a day.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
But she's always saying, she's very uplifting. And she never says anything violent.
That's great. I'm happy that you don't enjoy... I mean, you know, well, but you know what's... She's not talking. You do know that.
No, she's talking. I can translate what she's saying to me, but from her eyes.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of animals, we got a sad story here. Now, I don't like this one bit. It involves a serial cat killer. He's suspected of a string of multiple murders, cat murders, that is, and he's not just murdering these cats, he's mutilating the cats. And
how is he mutilating them?
Well, the latest feline aside victim, now it's a cat, it's a tabby cat named Harley, was found at 10 a.m. on the front lawn of a home near Decatur Street, and apparently the residents found it and it was mutilated. And I don't even know if he like put it in like a cross form or something, but he's putting all these things in public view. So this cat was taken from her home and then again found on the front yard of the neighbor's house. So it's not as if this person is trying to, you know, hide the crimes or make it seem like, you know, the cats are just running away. He wants everyone to know there's a serial cat killer on their hands.
I wonder what kind of motivation that is, besides, to be completely frank, a massive cry for help. Because I feel like there's a lot of people now. That's the one thing about our audience now more than ever before. True crime audiences and people, there's so many more people educated about true crime and the nature of serial killers. So I wonder if they now know, almost in a way, if I'm showing people I'm killing these animals, will someone come and help me?
Yeah, maybe. That's a good point. Apparently, Harley was a 20-year-old cat. He was deaf. Kathy Harrigan told the station, I believe that's the owner, she says he was deaf. He had found a place under a tree in our yard, so we took him in, built him a house, and kept him warm over the next couple of winters. There's no way he would have ever been an indoor cat, or we would have brought him inside. They went to bed and they woke up in the morning and the cops knocked on their door and they said, are you missing a cat? And then they said, oh, I guess we are. And it was found mutilated in the front yard. And now there's a
Jesus Christ.
It's brutal.
I feel like on some level, if I was a police officer, I'd be like, yeah, we saw your cat get hit by a car. I mean, like, you just lie to him and then you take the ornate Seven style splaying of the cat down.
Oh my God.
And then you keep that to yourself and you don't tell everybody that there's somebody out there that's reenacting Vincent D'Onofrio's The Cell, but with Garfield. Like if it's like a horrible crossover.
But if it was Garfield, you know that the obese guy who gets to die in a bunch of ravioli or something, if it's Puffin, My Little Pomeranian, or Garfield, they'll never die.
Are you guys familiar with deer jacking?
What the hell is deer jacking?
Deer jacking is when you shine a light into a deer's eyes. It makes them freeze, and then you shoot them with a gun. But it's like when it's out of season, when it's not hunted, that ain't right. Well, I just went to Greenwich, New York, which is a town of about 1,000 people.
Is this where you, what did you do there?
I went four-wheeling.
What are you doing? He went into a helicopter as well. No, he's going to die.
Why are you living like The Rock?
But so,
if we see you on a skyscraper,
so Sarah and I we passed by this guy and he waved at us and she said, "Oh, that's the guy who almost got in trouble for deer jacking in the town." So apparently, this guy had a happy family, and then on one of his birthdays, his wife left him, gave him divorce papers, and then he became a notorious deer jacker in the town of Greenwich. He started shooting deers and mutilating their bodies and leaving them out for people to see.
Really?
And they almost called the authorities on him, but everyone was sort of sympathetic to his... getting broken up with...
It's a cry for help.
Well, you get a month. You get 1 month to mourn like that, I think.
But yeah, and he also, he like mutilated coyotes, and it was just him reacting to getting divorced. Wow. And he eventually stopped, and now he's the guy you wave to on the street.
Oh, now he's good again.
Yeah, but
he stopped. Hey, how you doing? All right, y'all, I'm not doing it anymore.
No, I'm not.
Each person he meets.
But there was a rash of coyote mutilations and deer jackings in Greenwich because of this guy's divorce.
Well, this is according to the owner of this little tabby cat. She says it's really kind of terrifying. Does it stop with cats? And then the fact that this person had laid the body out for everyone to see is really disturbing. So who knows? I mean,
this is in Seattle?
We are in
Olympia.
Olympia, Washington.
So, is it Kelsey Grammer?
No.
I feel like if there's anybody out there that has a cross to bear, when the fact that we've got Murphy Brown reboot coming out, we've got the Last Man Standing reboot coming out, he's been heavily, heavily petitioning to get a Frasier
really
reboot, but I don't think it's happening because of his reputation and his history and every single bit of tragedy and horrible shit that seems to follow him, but he's maybe it's him.
I will say this, Frasier holds up. No need. I don't like the reboots anyway. There's a new show out there just waiting to be birthed.
No cat is safe until Frasier Crane can go back on the airwaves.
Well, put him back on the air. You know what he really should have done?
I want to be the Beast again.
Oh, he was great as the Beast. He should have really just become a psychiatrist on the radio in real life. I would listen to Frasier's radio show every day. Lean in. Why not?
Oh, yeah. Look at this. This is what, in order to keep Kelsey Grammer from cheating, his current wife made him get a crotch tattoo of her name. And so he says here.
Not gonna see it.
Yes, he said here, my wife said, why don't you get a tattoo? I guess it was sort of based on the idea that if I thought maybe a peccadillo outside the marriage was a good idea, that whoever might be, you know, seeing this particular piece of equipment was already signed and owned by someone named Kate.
What if he has an affair with a girl named Kate?
And then she'd be like, you knew all along. And then he's like, you want to see my crucifix filled with pets?
Oh, my God.
It's a crucifix garden. Does that make it better if I call it a garden?
I mean,
I think that is what you call a group of crucifixes together.
Maybe. Could be. If you're the cops here, right? Like, first of all, you round up all the 12-year-old boys like the Penguin rounded up the kids in Batman Returns. And you just really, you just say, who did it, right? I mean, that's kind of 15 and under, 10 to 15 years old. It's one of the kids in the town, don't you think?
It could be, or it could be, to be honest. I mean, what we saw with Kuklinski, what we see with many people is that true crime enthusiasts are so big now that I honestly really wonder if it's not just a 30-year-old podcaster.
Hey, could be, I guess so. Or is it suicide? Have we thought about that, ladies and gentlemen? Depression in cats.
Well, that's
it. It ain't right.
What if it's a cat serial killer?
That would be, if we find out it's an actual cat, I don't even know. Do they make cats?
That's our fucking show. I'm going to fucking pitch that show, which is the idea of like Heathcliff, but Heathcliff, that world of Heathcliff is being like hunted by a cat that is like a juicy, horrible serial killer with like a Dennis Nilsen dancing with other, like fucking the heads of other dead cats and shit.
Oh, my God. So there is a $3,000 reward being offered for any information that leads to the arrest. And also, this was just kind of a funny little side note. The name of this is a local Fox News station, Q13. An anchor for Q13 also offered up $1,500 as a reward after Ollie was found mutilated. And this is what anchor David Rose tweeted. He said, she was strangled and sliced upon. To the sixth suspect, I have a particular set of skills, and I will find you.
I can read from a teleprompter, and I can put the shoes on and pants and shirt on that are left for me to wear each day. If you are somewhere within 10 feet of a teleprompter, I will be able to see you.
Yes, no more alpha male. I love all these alpha male tweeters out there. To the sixth suspect, I have a what particular set of skills does this news anchor have, by the way, to find someone who mutilates cats? What set of skills would go into, would be needed to find someone who skins cats and murders cats?
I have six cats, and I can tell when a cat is crying for help. And I listen every night. I sit perched on my roof corner like a gargoyle, listening to the cries of cats to see which are in danger.
There's such a very, very cocky, news anchor there. Also in dog news, a former GOP leader allegedly killed his mom's dog and claims he received a command to do it from God. So that's kind of strange there. I don't think
he never does that. It's never asking to do that. It's always asking to save a dog. Save a dog instead of killing a dog.
That's right. He's a former leader of the Republican Party in South Carolina. His name is Todd Kincannon. He's also a former lawyer. Kincannon's mother, who has not been named, told the police she was absolutely terrified when her son allegedly began attacking the dog, Bailey, with his bare hands. And he was needlessly mutilated. He was choked and stabbed. And the lawyer was found bloody outside of his parents' home in nothing but his underwear with cuts on his arms and hands. And also, he was covered in dog hair. So
why is he like this?
I don't know why he did it. He says, this is according to him, I guess. He says, I know I'm the second coming of Christ, and I got a command from God to do it. That's what he said. This man... You got to look at this dude, Todd Todd Kincannon, the second coming of Christ.
I hate his face. He looks like Haley Joel Osment if he shaved.
Yeah.
He's got one of those big, like, used to be a TV actor heads, and he's got lost eyes, and just the idea of killing a dog. Like, what would possess you?
Well,
what would possess you to kill a fucking dog? Like, honestly.
He's got a little bit of a Chapman look, too, doesn't he? He's kind of got a portly little face. My goodness.
Yeah, he's got a horrible face.
So that is this week in animal mutilation news. Hopefully next week we won't have to cover it. But I'm going to say Todd Kincannon is the worst person of the week. And not to steal a Keith Olbermann bit. Oh, he was so funny. He would say, you're the worst person of the week. But he never said he was the worst person of the week. Man in the mirror glass houses.
That's how I feel. I feel like Keith Olbermann maybe could have just said it to him. Because honestly, though, he is saying it to himself. Anybody's calling anybody else the worst. The worst man of the week is obviously themselves thinking they are, in fact, the worst man of the week.
They must be. They must be.
That's what I think. One last little animal news I have is this rake, a character called a rake, which is a weird monster. It was captured on film stalking a moose in the Canadian wilderness.
I saw that.
It is a very fun, quirky, like, it's a good little video, and you should look it up. Essentially, it looks like a fucking golem, and it is a very creepy little creature, and it's a fun little video because you see this moose, no clue what's happening behind it. In the video behind it, you see this sort of, I'm going to say, akin to a Jeff Goldblum-like character staring at him from the edge of the forest, like very thin.
Yeah, Goldblum mid-fly, right before, he's still a little human, but he's now really becoming a fly.
He technically is closer to a Steve Buscemi.
Yes.
Because it's very pale to the point where being very, like, almost gray.
Right.
The rake is not really a character. It's not a real thing, except for the fact there was a weird mariner's log that was found in 1691, which was a story written in the 1800s, which described the rake, and which is the way you could see it in the video, is having hollow black eyes and being terrifying in nature. In 1964, a suicide note was written in which the author claims to have committed suicide due to repeated encounters with the rake and the fear that the creature will torment him horribly. So it's this kind of, there's a couple of creepypastas around it. And it's a character that's just out there. Well, and I tell you what, he's got a skinny little ass.
He definitely does. Now, have they tried to debunk the video at all? Because it's a great video. And did they debunk it? Did they find?
Technically, you sent me this video.
Yes.
And it was from the Fox News website, and it's just like they kind of roast this guy, where essentially they say like. There was something about how, what it's like, they asked the guy, it's like, oh, can you tell me what it is? Oh, like, the video, which has been viewed more than 30,000 times, was posted by André Tanguay-Frechette, who is unable to explain the footage, likely due to the fact that the monster is not real.
You fucking
pieces of shit.
Classic.
Then why are you
false
doing it?
News.
Why are you showing the video?
Right.
If you're going to be upset, this is where, I mean, honestly, Travis got me mad about it.
Yeah, good Travis.
It's just funny because it's like two paragraphs in, they're saying like this shit isn't real, and then below it is a bunch of clickbait like, this baby deer's reaction to the man who saved her will make you shit your pants.
Oh, well, that's good. That's just good entertainment. All right. Well, yeah, check out that video. I don't know why they're debunking it. I want to see proof that it's not real, but it's very cool nonetheless. I mean, if they got their like skinny drunk buddy to dress up like that and go scare the moose, one of these days he's going to die.
I will say, on my deathbed, when I finally get the cancer that's coming, if the heart attack doesn't kill me first, what a fun way to go. Creeping people out, all thin, no hair, walking around in the woods going, and just, you could be somebody else's monster.
Henry, like you can, that's at some point you just do that and you don't want to scare people, but like everyone is just repulsed by you because then they have to confront the inevitable fate that we're all going to die and you are the living embodiment of death at that point. So you're going to freak out people, bro. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah. Just me sitting in the bed.
Yeah. Just you being, just you demanding soup and just like needs an IV, you know, because his blood needs to be thinned. It's coming out pretty chunky like borscht.
I will put it this way. By that point, my blood will be so thick that I could use a thin.
Yes.
I could use a thinning agent because even at that today, I feel like this.
Yes.
From hours of partying.
All right, guys. Well, I think those are basically some of the fun stories of the week.
And I love these stories. Keep sending us stories.
Yes.
I got the Chinese author story from a listener. I got the, I mean, you said, like, you sent the mysterious monster video, but I will obviously, I love, like, I have a couple of the weird, like, rabbit holy type stuff that I'm going to go down. This thing called cultural layers, which I'm going to go down and see what the fuck this is.
Okay.
It's already, I could see the, on Reddit, our cultural layer, the first thing it says is, wow, this is beginning to be scientifically proven. And it's a video that says Pyramid of Giza has own energy source.
Oh, we got to get
into
that.
Which I don't know if it's real or not. I want to see what this YouTube video links to. It comes from RT America.
Oh, Russian television. It's got to be real. I think
no,
I'll be on
get off
that
the
network.
Get off the computer. No. No, they got me again. No.
Ed Schultz.
This is all about the election.
It was a great anchor. Speaking of anchors. Yeah, and DM me. You can just DM me on at BenKissel1 on Instagram. DM me some of those stories too, because, you know, I poke around there and I will look at them. And that's actually very helpful because there's so many stories, it's almost hard to keep track of them all. So,
all right, so our cultural layers, I just want to say, for studying and organizing evidence of historical and chronological manipulations, hoaxes, and cataloging instances of anomalous soil accumulation and the implications of a very recent Earth-spanning catastrophe. I think it's the idea that things are a lot older than they say they are. There's a lot of talk about it, so I'm going to get deep into this, and I just wanted to check, make sure that I'm not... That's a problem with stumbling upon a new, like, deep dive of thoughts is like, I never want to all of a sudden, like, I'm in neo-Nazi territory. Now he's got to
I don't know, man. You're
back
on Reddit. You're going to get, it seems like it always goes there. I don't know why, but you can start with, like, researching My Little Pony. You go through a brony territory, and then the bronies become an incel, and the incels are now becoming Nazis, and then all of a sudden you're
I'm just trying to have fun. I'm just trying to have broad interests.
Well, did you see that?
I just want to know new stuff. I was trying to learn more about Al-Sutra. And all the Nordic religions, and they've all been taken by the neo-Nazis, too.
They've been
totally
co-opted.
And I just want the little hammer emblem. That's all I wanted.
Nope, can't do it anymore, man.
I can't wear my Burzum shirt because of the murders.
Yeah. Well.
That's my fault. I should never have purchased the shirt.
Yeah, I think so. All right, everyone. Find Henry's Dr. Fantasty. Henry loves you.
Whatever the fuck it is you want to do.
I don't
honestly
care.
I mean, just stay on Instagram, I guess. It's also on my face. It's all just... It's just,
you know what I'm going
to
do?
We have to plug it because we are the only people that support us in terms of.
Of course. I had a chance to interview Ben Westhoff on Able Against Top Head about fentanyl, and we also interviewed him for our Patreon all about Original Gangsters, the book that he wrote about Biggie and Tupac. And the only thing he does is email. And I think he's like, you can sign up for my email list. And I haven't heard email list in like a decade. And I was like, you know, that's so fun. It's like the Pony Express of our time.
Should we do that? Should we go back to that? And we can make a web series about what it's like living in New York and being a comedian? Like, that's so other 2006 things?
I don't know why I'm not successful. I've got my email list. I have a YouTube channel.
YouTube, because it's a part is that you do the tube.
Oh.
Well, this has been wonderful. Again, remember, if you're living and not laughing, then you're not loving.
That's true.
And if you're living and loving, you're going to be laughing.
At the afterwards, hopefully.
Are you talking about in heaven? Are you talking about after you're fucking dead? No, when you're dead, there's radio silence.
You think
there's
so?
There's no living, laughing, or learning, loving.
I am going to talk through a microphone. I think you can do it. Energy, I'm going to zip-zap around and just go make, like, you know, different kind of noises and stuff like that.
I'm
going to
bury you with a microphone up your asshole like it's a mafia hit.
Oh, that'll be nice.
All right.
Fuckers. Okay, everyone. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
All right.
Do what it takes to get a little bit of Satan in your life this week.
Sure. Talk to you soon.
Do you know someone struggling to figure out their mental health benefits? The Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office is here to help. Find us at insurance.ohio.gov/GETMHIA or call us at 855-438-6442. Don't wait. The Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office can help you figure out what mental health insurance benefits may be in their plan. Call us today at 855-438-6442.
Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.